Okay, let's go to verse 3 and 4. We'll just start breezing through this now, because the rest of it won't require the same amount of...
Is writing technique where it kind of relates to both Jews and Greeks continue through that, or is that just kind of a clincher?
Well, that's the one that involves the most amount of, you know, unpacking in that way, for sure. But it, obviously, this is going to carry on throughout the gospel, right? Okay? Who wants to read verse 3 and 4? Someone.
Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men.
Oh, sorry, in verse 5. I'm sorry.
Light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
Okay. So here we discover that the Word was not just with God in the beginning, but it was specifically through him, through Jesus, John says, that the world was created. He was with God in Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning, but it's also been from him and through him that all life and all light has come into the world. Now, is that new to you, that idea that Jesus was the creative power of God in the world? Have you heard that before? Can you think of other places in Scripture where it maybe talks about a similar idea? How about you can
day
write
two?
This? What's that?
Day two.
No. How about Colossians chapter 1?
Okay.
He is the image of the invisible God, verse 15, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is actually the creator, the creative part of God. Sometimes our terminology fails us, but work with me on that. Now, do you see the ramifications for that? Any links to that to our modern day, to our modern setting, to our world today? The translation for that into our world is that there is no light and there is no life in our world that exists apart from Jesus. Okay, that all light and all life, all our breath is coming from him. He is the one that is sustaining all of creation. Whether we know him or whether we don't, he is still giving us breath. He is the one that created in the beginning. Okay.
What verse is that? Colossians?
Colossians 1, verse 15. Which is interesting, you know. I was just listening here in Vancouver. They're having these bus stops coming up with the new atheist signs. You know, there's probably no God. So get over it and start enjoying your life, right? And it's funny, actually. It's quite witty of them, the atheists. And they're entitled to put their opinions out. But, you know, like, even the people that are there making the signs and denouncing the reality of God, the scriptures say to them, to even these, Jesus is giving you your breath. Right? Holding it all together. And he loves them, right? Even amidst their confusion. Here's the other thing this little section says, is that John also tells us that as the light has shone into the darkness of the world has not, what's it say there? Has not understood it. Yeah. What did you have? Yeah, the world, yeah, okay, yeah. And as we read through the rest of the gospel, this is the other thing we're going to encounter, that Jesus, the life giver, is going to step into the world, but the world is not going to understand him and not going to receive him. So here's a couple more themes we pick up for your notes. Is that Jesus is the creative hand of God. He created in the beginning. He has come to create new life again. And number two, the world he has come to will not understand him. Any questions so far? Okay. Someone read verse 6 to 9.
God sent a man named John, who came to tell about the light and lead all people to have faith. John wasn't that light. He came only to tell about the light. The true light that shines on everyone was coming into the world.
Yes, well done. What's it telling us here from yesterday?
The followers of John that haven't
figured out. Yeah, sure. He's introducing us to John the Baptist, who we're going to see a number of times we saw yesterday in the gospel. This is going to come up all sorts of times. And every time, John is going to be there pointing to Jesus. And I love John the Baptist's character because in every way, that's also what we are to be in the world. We're to be these people, these signposts, these roadposts that are pointing the world to Jesus. You know, this big elongated finger. Go home. Go to him. It's not me. It's not us. It's him. Come and see Jesus. That's what we do in the world. We live like John the Baptist, pointing the way to the to Jesus. Okay, so we're going to encounter John the Baptist, another theme we're going to meet in the gospel. Verses 10 to 13. Someone pick that one up.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Okay. So what's he saying here? Start it. There's two trains of thought that he goes down here. Starts off with one, finishes with another. But they're kind of two sides of the same coin.
People not acknowledging his presence.
Starts with that. Yep. So he comes back again to this theme of the rejection of Jesus. But who particularly are going to be rejecting him? His own, right? Sorry, Mason? Yeah. His own. The ones that he came into the world for, which is such an irony, right? So peculiar. Like, he's coming into the world, and now John's saying his very own, the one he's coming for, are going to be the ones that are rejecting him. But it's not just the Jews, as we're going to see in the gospel. Who else rejects him? His own disciples. Right? Even his own disciples are going to scatter in the end. In fact, in John's scene at the cross, the only people that are seen around the cross are the beloved disciple and a few women. Props to the women, right? Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mary Magdalene, a prostitute woman, they're ready to be there. But all of his boys, they've either full-on rejected him or they're hiding. Wimps. I would have been too. But the other side of it is that John says that some will believe. Right? And this word believe is kind of one of those words that we need to outline and highlight in our minds, because it's going to be one of these themes as well that we're going to see over and over throughout the gospel. The gospel is provoking our belief. It's continually calling us to believe. And it's one of John's favorite words. I should have taken a count as to how many times the word believe or a derivative of it is used in the gospel. It's used so many times. Believe, 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 believe. That's what John wants us to do as we read through the gospel. Okay, any questions there? Doing well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to verse 14. Someone just read verse 14.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one of these really famous verses, right? Have you heard this one before?
Mm-hmm.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, we've seen a couple of times already so far, right? This idea of this light shining into the world, right? Shining into the darkness. But now, this verse here is going to tell us the exact way that this one that John is introducing us to is going to bring that light into the world. How's he going to do it? He's going to put on skin, right? He's going to take on flesh and step into the world. And it says here that as he steps into the world, that he's going to dwell among us. This word is going to put on flesh, and now, or I like how Eugene Peterson in The Message puts it, he's going to move into the neighborhood. It's a great expression, right? The word puts on flesh and then becomes our neighbor. The word dwell is actually better translated, though, that he's going to tabernacle, or that he's going to put up a tent with us. He's going to pitch a tent. Tabernacle. Interesting. What might a Jew be thinking about that? What was the tabernacle for the Jew? It was the place where God lived. Yeah. And what happened at the tabernacle? Two things happened at the tabernacle, which eventually became the temple. Two things happened at the tabernacle.
Worship.
Worship. It was the place where God was worshipped. Yep. Good one. And what's the other one?
Sacrifice.
Yeah. For the forgiveness of our sins, right? The cleansing of our sins. So what's John saying when he says that the word puts on flesh and tabernacles among us? What's he saying? Exactly what we just said. Make the links, draw it.
It's going to cover his sin.
Yes, this is now the place where God's presence is going to dwell in the world. It is now the place where we are going to worship God in the world, and it is now the place where our sins are going to be absolved in the world. And the tabernacle was this beautiful thing with the people while they were wandering around the desert, that the tabernacle would move everywhere the people were going, and actually the tabernacle would lead the moving of the people. That's a great also imagery, right? Like wherever God's people are, there the tabernacle is. And wherever that tabernacle goes, there God's people are intended to go as well.
Jesus' tabernacle.
Yes. Good. Which is exactly what he's going to say. Remember the last teaching? It's exactly what he's going to say when he links himself to the temple, right? That he is now saying, this temple is going to come down, but it will be rebuilt again in 3 days in me. I'm the place. Yeah. I'm the place where the worship of God happens. I'm the place where God's presence dwells in the world. And I am the place where the sins are atoned for. It's a mind-boggling idea. You know, every religion has some idea of spirit or God attached to them. And most also have some type of an earthly figure who is intended to be that religion's prophet or a mouthpiece or a spokesperson. But what John is saying here is that, no, we don't just have a spokesperson who speaks on behalf of God. Who Jesus is he is the very presence of God in the world with skin on. And he's moved in amongst us. Any questions about that? It's pretty. That's a pretty epic statement, verse 14.
Would the Greek reader understand that?
Probably with a little bit of help. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty heavy with Jewish culture.
Yeah, there is there, for sure. But you understood it fairly easily too, right?
Yeah.
They would have too. A little explaining. Okay, what do we got here? Oh, sorry, I missed a couple of them. 10 to 13, you want to write those ones down? Themes? Mm-hmm. Anybody want those ones if you're typing those things down? Tell me when you're finished. Oh yeah, I didn't even highlight that second part. Right? Because he says that our belief grants us the right to be called children of God. Remember that in verse 13 at the end there? Going back. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor a human's decision or a husband's will, but born of God. We're given this privilege of being adoption, of being adopted. Okay, can we go ahead to the next slide?
Yeah.
Almost, Jack?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. Alice, you got it? Okay. And here's and this verse that we just looked at, really, I say here it's the grand theme, because really more than anything else, this is what the story of John's gospel is going to be about. It's a story about what happens when God steps into the world, makes himself known among us. Good, Jack?
I'm good, yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next one then. Who wants to read verse 15 to 18 as we finish up? And we'll go for a break. Someone.
Which one?
15 to 18.
Okay. John bore witness about what? About him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known."
Good. Okay. So, concluding statement to the trailer. Finishing off, a resolve to it all. Starts off with what? First opening thing, verse 15. A reaffirmation about John. Back to John again. There's John the Baptist showing up again, right? Pointing to Jesus. John testifies, right? "He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." And then, secondly, we see there in verse 16, we have this reminder that through Jesus we find grace and one blessing after another, which is going to be another one of these grand themes that carries itself throughout the gospel, right? This idea that with Jesus we are now moving into this era of mercy. The kindness, the grace, the lavishness of God is being poured out in our world. Which isn't that when we see every scene with Jesus interacting with people, isn't that what we see? The kindness, the favor, the mercy of God to people. Right? In John chapter 4, I talked about this in Pemberton the other week, but in John chapter 4, Jesus meets this woman. She has five husbands, and the woman she's with right now, or the man she's with right now, is not her own. Right? And Jesus is so kind to her and so merciful to her. We see the mercy of God being poured out in Jesus. And then finally, he reaffirms just where he began, that no one has ever seen God. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? Interesting. No one has ever seen God, as in God the Father, but now Jesus has come to make him sight. And in him, we see the image of God. Does that make sense, how you understand that verse, right? No one has ever seen God. We have not seen God the Father, but Jesus has come to make him known to us. Right? That's what John's saying there. Good? All right, so here's all these themes that the trailer is introducing us to. It's telling us that Jesus, you have all these if you wrote them down, it's just a recap. Jesus is the personal logos behind creation. That Jesus was with God from the beginning. That Jesus has shared somehow in his very nature as God's nature. Jesus was with God bringing life in the beginning. Jesus has now come to bring new light and new life into the world. Jesus is the source of all life, light and creation in the world. Jesus will be rejected by his own. Jesus calls us, wrong apostrophe, to believe in him so we may be children of God. Jesus is greater than all others, even John the Baptist. Jesus has now made God visible in the world. Jesus is now the temple of God. And Jesus has come out to pour out the unrelenting mercy of God. We have all received one blessing after another. And that in 18 verses. You could spend your whole life unpacking 18 verses. Right where the elephants are, right? Amen? Mm-hmm. All right, so let's have a break, and then we'll try and figure out what we're going to do after the break.